But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we should all know that verse off by heart, shouldn't we? And me especially. You know, that was our wedding verse for Mary Bell and I. And so next, when is Victoria Day? Next two weeks from now, that's our anniversary, and we're married 25 years. And so, thank you. You know, looking back, it went really fast. It went really fast, just like my dad said it would. He said, once you get married, boy, zoom, it just goes. It goes fast, and it has. But it's been a joy, and it's never been boring. Never. It's never been boring. Well, if you are trusting in the Lord Christ as Savior, your sins are washed away. Hallelujah. Thank God. They're gone, and you're a born-again believer in the salvation that God freely offers. And he gives you life, real life, and he puts himself inside of you, as Jesus says in Scripture. And the Spirit of God comes to live in you, never to leave. He lives with you and will be in you. That part nobody can see. No one can see the Spirit of God inside of you. All that anyone can ever see is what comes out of a life that has the Spirit of God in it. We have a small fruit tree at home. And I know it's crazy, but I had this thought. I thought, looking at the leaves, well, it's a peach tree. A peach tree. Imagine that. And the tree grew a couple of years. And because it was a peach tree, I took special care of it. I mean, it's a peach tree. It flowered last year, small as it was. And the fruit set on it. It started so small, and I thought, well, give it some time. Peaches are big. It'll grow. And by fall, the fruit started ripening, and it still wasn't any bigger than a loony. And that's when I found out that our peach tree was actually a plum tree. Yeah. Or else it was the smallest peaches that I have ever seen. But can a bad tree bear good fruit? Jesus said, neither can a good tree bear bad fruit. In the same way, what comes out of us as Christians, it shows what has happened to us on the inside. When the Spirit of God made his home in you, that's what is happening. Well, we're going to look at each one of these in depth through the summer as the schedule allows. And we want to start today with love. You know, as we're working on themes, Pastor Gary pointed out to me, we've got to bring this back to Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is all about Jesus and his character and love. And not just love. Each one of the fruit of the Spirit is actually a characteristic of God, or the character of Jesus, since he is the Son of God. Colossians says, you want to know what God is like? Jesus is the best representation. Look to Jesus. You want to know what Jesus is like? Look to his followers. I heard this story about the great preacher Spurgeon walking down the street one day. A drunk man met him, and there he called out to him, Mr. Spurgeon, I'm a follower of yours. You must be, Spurgeon replied. You're certainly not a follower of Christ. And that is God's purpose for us, to make us more like the Lord Jesus. He already saved you, and now he's transforming you into his own likeness. And we have nothing to earn, nothing. But we have so much to learn as his followers. And so if we look at love, first we must look at the love of Jesus as our example. And in the example of Jesus with his disciples, we see the love of Jesus. He loves them. John chapter 13 is a good place to see it, and where Andrew read the scriptures, but also preceding, even starting right at verse 1, it says, having loved his own in the world, he showed them the full extent of his love. And then he washed their feet. And then he gave them the command to love each other as he has loved them. And then in the following chapters, you see the passion of the Christ in the Gospel of John. He's tried and mocked and scourged and crucified. He makes a statement of love, and then he backs it up with something. He backs it up with an action. And here we see clearly that love never stands alone. It is always backed up with something in action. An action, a deed. And something 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is saying to us also. The ability to speak is good, he says, but only if there is love for the hearer. Anybody can rattle off a speech. But what was the motive? Was love there? The giving of gifts to the poor is good, but only if love for the poor goes with it will it be useful as far as God is concerned. In fact, anything I do will God regard as useful only if love is a part of it. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? God looks at your motive. We know that's true. God doesn't just look at the deed, but he looks at the motive behind the deed. And you know, that is exactly what God is like. And this is important to understand. We can understand what our God is like by the commands that he gives. And if he tells us to do something, it is because that is what he is like. If he tells us to love our neighbors, our wives, our brothers and sisters, even our enemies, it's because he himself does. You see, whatever God does, his motive, his underlying purpose is love. Nothing he does is without love. You know what that means, don't you? It means I can trust him with anything. Anything. Since whatever he does is through the gracious thought of love for me. Preacher, are you sure about that? Yes. Look for a moment at what God does in the pages of Scripture and see if his love is there. God brought the Jews out of Egypt. Was love there? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. It was because the Lord your God loved you and kept the promise he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand. What about later on when they were defeated and beaten down? Listen to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. I will build you up again, God says to his people, the Jews. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Okay, that's the Jews. What about us? God saved you. That's grace. But behind his grace, his motive is love. 1 John chapter 4, 10 says, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That means his love was there on you and everyone else too before they came to him. You responded to his love. That is, if you said yes to him. Others have said no to him up until now. I know people like that, and so do you. They cannot stop God from loving them. I like what Luke says in chapter 5, verse 44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What does it mean? It means God loves his enemies, and you were once his enemies too. You can't stop the rain and the sunshine from coming to you, but you can put up an umbrella, can't you? You can resist his love, and we all did for a time, but he loved us just the same. And finally, you said yes to his love. You turned to Jesus Christ to save you. Some of you have trouble accepting that God loves you. You've heard the words, but your life has been, it seems, one difficulty after another, a real struggle. And you always felt God was against you. I myself have felt this way. Even sometimes now, I feel, why is this happening? God is against me. But this is wrong thinking. A man had a daughter he loved deeply. She grew up with a rebellious and a rude attitude. It hurt the father deeply to see her behave in this way. One evening, she was particularly awful. And he, being grieved, he struck her on the mouth to stop her. She left sobbing to her room. And he was filled with sadness and remorse, having hurt his own daughter. Their relationship changed after that. She was more careful with her words, but distant and indifferent to anything her father said. Several years later, when they had a disagreement, she ran away to a friend. The father called her there and spoke to her. He finally realized what it was, her lack of response, her coldness over the years. He said to her, on the phone, "You know, sweetheart, I believe you don't think that I love you. I want to tell you that I do. I would give my life for you. You are my only daughter. And this is my pledge to you that will show my love for you. I will pay for your school until you graduate." And true to his word, he did. And when she realized her father really did love her, her heart began to soften. God is calling out to you. He's telling you, "I love you. I would give my life for you. And this is my pledge to you. I will take your debt of sin, your debt of death, and eternal separation from you, and pay for it myself. And instead, I will give you life and my own presence inside of you." And when you understand the love of Christ, will it not change the way you think about God? But what of the difficulties of life? Why must they be there? If God loved me, would not my life be easier? Difficulties don't disprove the love of God. Rather, they prove that he does love us. God is treating you like sons, as Scripture says. And Jesus himself had many hardships. And will we not also have them? Psalms 34 says, "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." You will have difficulty. That's a fact. and God will be with you, and God will deliver you, and you will experience the love of God for you, and you will praise him, and you will love him. But what of those who spurn God's love all the way through this life? What of them? God's love continues on, even in their choice to reject him, even in judgment, not eliminating them, but sustaining them in their choice to be separated from him, as it says in Matthew chapter 25. Depart from me. There's a separation. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. They will not turn to God. They will not repent. But God will not destroy them in their choice, as miserable as it is. What then are we to learn from the nature of God's love? We must realize love, must be willing to try, and also to fail. You don't know if the person you love will love you back. And you don't know if the person you tell about the love of God will reject or eventually accept. But you try anyway. Why? Because love always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, we try to persuade people we love anyway, because, as he says, Christ's love compels us to do it. It's the love of God. You know, this world is full of people that do all kinds of things without love. It can make where you live or work a real ugly place to be. You could be a town counselor, a librarian, a mechanic, a nurse, or a teacher, all without love. You can even share the gospel of Christ without love, as Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But you Christians are different. You can love even at the most trying and difficult times, in the worst places possible, even in jail, in a traffic accident, or at home. Even to your enemies, you can show that love and not take revenge, because the power to love is given you. It is inside of you. I went to the funeral of Mr. Peter Regeer. He lived here in Coaldale. 95 years old, he achieved. He wasn't rich or famous. He's just a small farmer. He always had a job on the side to make ends meet. But I tell you, he was full of the love of Christ. When he was young, the Second World War, in Canada there was a draft, which means all the young men of fighting age had to report for training to take up weapons to go to war in Europe. Those of the Mennonite Church, which he was, they had special status because this is a peace church, and they were exempt from fighting. But instead of Europe, they had to work at special logging camps in the forest as their duty to their country. Mr. Regeer served his time, and when he was done, he came home. Then it was his brother Abe's turn to go. But Abe wanted to go to Bible school. He was to become a pastor. And his brother Peter told him, "You go to school. I will serve another term for you." So great was his love for his brother. One more story about him. Even now, at the end of his life, he was in the hospital. His brother came to visit him and found him wandering down the hall away from his room. "Did you get lost? Do you know where your room is?" "No," he answered, "I know where my room is. I'm just going to see this lady I saw earlier. I want to see if she knows about Jesus." That's the kind of life. And love is so easy to see when you see it, when you know it. He's got the love of Jesus, and it shows. You followers of Jesus Christ, let everything you do have love as its motivation. That will keep you from hurting others, and it will drive you forward to do what is good and right for everyone. There's a couple places in our lives where love is so important. That's the home. And we heard that earlier. Husbands, love your wives, the Bible says. You know where the parents love each other? It's like a magnet for the kids. Did you notice that? It builds togetherness. I mean, when you see a husband and a wife hugging and little kids are around, they're like torpedoes. They just got to be in the middle of it. Just try and keep them away. They get right in there. And of course, we would let them in. And there was the family, full of love, at least for a few moments. I remember that, and I miss it. Now the kids are gone. And I think that's kind of how the church can be too. People see us from the outside. They see how we love each other, and we do. How happy we are in each other's presence. How busy we are helping each other. We're never bored. I think they would want to be a part of that too. I know I would be. And we just have to remember to let them in too. Just let them in. Let them be part of the family and feel the love that God in Christ has given us. All men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And they will know that we've been with Jesus. And God will give you that love. For some of us, it doesn't come easily or quickly. It took me a long time. But I know it now. I know it to see it. But if you belong to God, then He is in you and He will give you that love. For some of you, you're ready to take down the umbrella. God's love has finally spoken to you. And God will never refuse anyone who responds to His great love. It all starts with a decision to turn around and turn control of your life over to God. And we can help you make that decision. We can help you understand more fully the ways of God. And if you want to pray about this or anything else, please come and see me here or Pastor Gary after the service. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it ends with these words, and it's a good place to stop. Now abide these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.